This is what's called the Noyik Shabbos, a fantastic sefer. This is the second sefer I'm using. The first sefer, I ran out of things. So now I'm on to my second sefer.
That's yours?
What?
That's yours?
Yes, mine. Oyit Ser Dinim U'Minhagim? Okay, I have to look. I don't know. I'm not familiar. So this is a lumbus. So let's discuss today's minug. Minug today is the laws of a kois shel bracha, goblet. When we bench, we make kiddush, we use a kois shel bracha. Many of the laws of kois shel bracha border on halacha, not on minhag. And I have not prepared the halachic section, just the minhag section. Question is, let's say you're very, very wealthy, super billionaire. Is it a mile to use a gold cup? And we all know that we don't use plastic. Plastic called chad pa'amis. Chad pa'amis, what about using a cup? A disposable cup. It's a very big shiloh. Are you allowed to use for kiddush? Are you allowed to use for benching a plastic disposable cup? Or even a paper cup? You don't see that around too much anymore, the paper cups. They do have it still. No, not that heavy. I'm talking about the real cheap paper cups.
What about the fancy ones? You can't even tell if it's
no, the fancy ones you can use. Because that's not necessarily chad pa'amis, because that is something which there are many people, they preserve. They clean and they use it in the home. They can go to a fancy kiddush and then they throw it out. But in the home, people will not so quickly throw out the thicker, the more elaborate. What? Two cups together. I heard a very nice shiur on that, a whole hour shiur on that from Rav Zev Smith. Yes, where that comes from. One cup within another. Okay, I don't know. I'm not prepared for that, but that's a topic in and of itself. But what about one cup? One cup by itself. Is that permitted? That's a halachic issue. Rav Moshe is not happy with one cup. He does not allow a person to make kiddush or bench on a plastic disposable cup. Many other poskim are lenient. Some say lechatchila. Even you can use it with no hesitation whatsoever. And there are other poskim that say lechatchila you should not, but b'diavad it's okay. So there's a very wide range of opinions how to deal with a plastic cup. I'm not getting into the plastic cup. That's halachic issue. But what about dealing with something which is permanent? What is ideal? Glass, silver, and let's say I'm a shagah, someone has, I don't even know you can, if such a thing is possible, to buy a gold cup. So the interesting kos is the gematria. I saw this fascinating idea, 86. Elokim is the gematria, 86. Elokim is the shem of din. Midas hadin. This is Kabbalistic in Yanim. Midas hadin. In the Olam of Drush, and this is not such Kabbalah, this is pretty popular stuff, there's silver and there's gold. Silver always represents rachamim. Kesef is from the word kisufim, yearning. A yearning to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Olam HaKabbalah, Olam HaDrush, Chasidim, silver represents midas harachamim. Zohov, Chazal also say this, Zohov is din. It represents something which is very, very strong. It's never a good idea to compound din with din. Meikar hadin, no pun intended, we're not supposed to learn at night Tanakh. You're not supposed to say Tehillim at night. Now, we're not makbid on this in our times. We're not into this. You want to say Tehillim, gesundheit, say Tehillim at night. We say in Shul Tehillim at night, and we learn Tanakh at night. We're not into these things. But Me'ikar HaDin is such a thing that at night you don't recite psukim of Tanakh. You don't recite psukim of Tehillim because Tehillim, Torah Shebichsav, represents among, in this world that we're not familiar with, din. Talmud, Mishnayis, Tersha Baal Peh, represents Rachamim. The evening is a Tkufa of Din. The daytime is a Tkufa of Rachamim. You never want to compound Din with Din. In the nighttime, it's a Tkufa of Din. You don't learn Tanakh at night. because you're doing, you're compounding din in a time of din. That's very dangerous. So you learn Tarsha Bal Peh. You learn Rachamim. At a time of din, you dilute the din with Rachamim. During the daytime, daytime is a time of Rachamim. The sun is shining, it's Rachamim. So it's no big deal. So you learn Tanakh. A little din, no big deal. That's what they say. We're not into this. Like I told you, we don't have any shaykhs to these things. By us doesn't mean anything. We say till midnight. But these are ideas. Now let's go to the kois. A kois, by definition, the goblet, is din. What that means, I have no idea. Because kois is bigamatria. I can't believe I'm saying all these gematrias. Telling this to me 2 years ago, I would say never. But kois is din. Elokim is din. Gold? A gold kois? Oh, that's din with din? No good. Silver. Because silver is kisufim, kesef, rachamim. You're diluting, you're lightening the kois with rachamim. Oh, that is something which is proper. So therefore there's a hakpada. Interesting, there is a hakpada to use silver and not gold. I remember, you know how much a gold coin will cost? A gold coin will cost, you couldn't afford to buy a strip. I'm dealing with kings. I don't know, the Queen Elizabeth, I don't know what she uses when they have a cocktail party, if they have a coin show, zav, but chazal, it's not a good idea. Now, what about glass? What?
So by day, you could use a gold
coin? No, because coin by itself represents... That's a tkuf, that's a time of rachamim. But the kois itself is din. The kois itself is din. So at night it's triple. It's a zman of din, a kois is din, and the material is din, a triple din. That's very dangerous. But by day, a double danger is also a problem. What about glass? It's very interesting that there are many poskim that say glass is the best. Because glass, you can see. It says in the pasuk, "Al tere yayin ki yisadam." Don't be influenced. Don't be influenced by the redness of the yayin. Don't be swept away from the pasuk. It's mashma. There's something to it. There is an inyan of seeing the color of yayin. What's the pasuk? Al tere yayin ki yisadam. Don't look at the wine. Al tere yayin ki yisadam. Don't look at the wine and be influenced at its beautiful red color.
Today's daf.
I didn't do today's daf.
Different colors of yayin. The end of the
period. Okay. So they're different. There are different colors. So there is something to it. I'll give you an example. The night of the Seder. There's a very big shaila about the Seder. What color yayin? Do you use red or do you use white wine? So there are many people that the yayin should be red, similar to the dam. There's always this da. A bittersweet approach to the Seder. On the one hand, it's Cherus, but on the other hand, it's Avdus. And part of the reminder of Avdus is the dam, is that the blood should look red to be reminded of Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYot HaShtichur. This is the need of dam. So there are minhagim that people who could afford, for the one kois, they use glass, and the other four koisos by the Seder, they use silver. There's such a minuk. There is definitely such a minuk to be mekayim both. Silver, there's such a thing as a silver to dilute the kois of radin with rachamim. And there's also such an inyan of altera yayin ki yisadam. Don't be influenced by the redness, but you should see it. You should put yourself in that situation where you see that it's red, you see that it's delicious, it looks good, but yet you have self-control. You have discipline not to get carried away with the beautiful redness of the yai. Okay, so some prefer actually to use a glass kais. Now, let's go further.
Is that Kelly Mateo?
So you could have a very expensive glass kais as well.
Sure.
Okay, now, this is more of halacha. The Gemara says, just to point out the Gemara, Masechta the Bracha says there are 10 things that were said concerning a koishal bracha. 10 different inyanim. One of them is hadacha. Before you use the koishal bracha, you have to, this is a minach. This is necessarily halacha, and this is very, you have to rinse it. And there's shtifa. Hadacha is on the inside, Shtifa is on the outside. And that's a very important halacha, that before you use the Kodesh HaBracha, there is a minog. I don't know if it's mamish halacha, mamish, shukhna, I have to do the halacha, you have to rinse the kais. Rinse the kais with water on the inside, water on the outside, and even if the kais is clean, even if the kais on the table is perfectly clean, it's now time for Berachas HaMazon, you take the kais off the table, you move it to the kitchen, you rinse it with water on the inside and on the outside. Chai means the kais must be perfectly, this people know this halacha, the kais must be perfect. No damage. If the kais is broken, there's a crack, it's not perfect, on the bottom, the base, or the surface, you're not allowed to use the kais. Mole, we know that you have to fill the kais all the way to the very, very top. Those are the four things. Those are the first four things mentioned in the Gemara. I'll mention very quickly the other things in a moment, but it's interesting that the only thing that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch are these first four. And from that, there are many minhagim, like we explained, to rinse the kais before and after. Why do we do that? Also, some learn that it's a Kabbalistic inyan, that mayim, you suppose water is very important when it comes to wine. Because, I don't know what it's all about. But you have to, some have a minhag even to add drops of water into the wine. Our wine, b'zman hazeh, you have to shumach, halach, you have to write it, kai shal bracha tohun, hadacha mefnim hashim mechutz. Vimunaki the ein boy shir koisas ein sarach. So here it brings out the halachas does not require ein sarach, but the minig is you still do it. So that's very interesting. That's halacha does not, if it's clean you do not need to wash it, but it became a minig that to rinse it with water on the inside outside. These are Kabbalistic and Yanim, Ashkenazim probably not into this, but probably Sfardim and Hasidim are more into this because Yain represents also Rachamim, and somehow you want to dilute the Toikef of Din, of the Kois, with Mayim, which also represents humility and Rachamim, adding drops of water into the wine. Now it used to be Mikra Din that you're not allowed to drink raw wine. The wine in Eretzol was so potent, was so powerful, it wasn't edible. Couldn't drink such powerful. You had to dilute it. But Zman Hazeh, we don't have that problem. After the Chometz HaMikdash, the Peros Nirkaf don't have that potency, and we don't need to dilute the wine with water. However, it became a minhag because you want to dilute the Toikef. Yayin represents, I think it's because it comes from Noach. Noach was Nirshol, he drank Yayin. He drank wine. Vayochel lech ish adama. He planted a vineyard. He drank from the wine and became drunk. In order that this should never happen again, we dilute the wine. By diluting the wine, it takes away its toikef, its power, its potency, and you cannot come into a situation where you'll be nichshol, come to a situation like Noach. We don't really need to do this b'zman hazeh because it's not necessarily true, but we do it as a zecher, as a minhag. And it became big chassidish thing, how many drops of water you put into the wine. You put in three drops of water into the yayin. Some have the minhag to do this in the middle of benching. When you come to one of the brachas, I'm not sure which bracha, in order to show the shevach of Eretz Yisrael, when you mention in Birchas HaMazon that Eretz Yisrael is a land that is blessed with all of the good, in order to remind us that in ancient times it was that the yayin was so powerful, the yayin was so potent, it was impossible to drink without diluting the yayin with mayim, as a reminder of the bracha that we once had an Eretz Yisrael in the middle of benching, you would add in three drops of water into your Kodesh Shal Yayin.
That's why you have in the Haggadah the instructions,
Mazgulo, to dilute with water. That was done in ancient times. To add water.
Yeah, because it adds bracha to the world.
Mayim adds bracha. Because these are
the yayin success by Noach. What's our
three drops?
Is there a special way to hold a kosher yayin?
Oh, I'm gonna get to that in a moment. I'll get to that in one moment. That's a lot of halacha. Even this thing is written by Maral. Maral says what I told you about Noach comes from the Maral. The reason why you eat water is because of Noach. It brings yilala le'olam. We should not repeat what happened with Noach, so we want to dilute it, and the mukubalim that you bring, you should add three drops of water. Okay, then we have this thing called the kais must be perfectly, it must be chai. It must be perfect. That's halacha. That's Shulchan Aruch. If there's a nick in the rim of the cup or the base is broken, it's no good. You could have a silver becher that's worth $10,000 and it's damaged. There's a defect in the top. The defect, a plastic cup is better than a damaged silver becher that's damaged because it's not chai. It's not chai. Something has to have a bulk. You can have a big, massive bulk, big, massive challah by wedding, and the end of the challah, someone sliced off the end of the challah. They have a little teeny bulk, Which one can you make the bracha on? The little teeny bulk. It's shalem. The big one that's broken is no good. If you have a $10,000 antique kais, and being that it's such an antique, there's a crack on the top, and the rim is a little bit nicked.
What about a dent? What about a little dent?
What a bend? A bent? Or
it's a chiluk ideas. How much of a dent? I don't know the answer. It all depends on how significant the dent is. If you have a kais and it's really like you really see the dent, the top is like really no. You're not going to use it. It's not called chai. Chai is an expression. A scratch is nothing, obviously. It's arbitrary. It's not something which is... It says in Gemara, chai. It doesn't say pog. It's a very unusual expression. That the kois is alive. What does that mean? It's not clear. It means that that to you, it's a perfect state. It's a perfect condition. If it's bent to the point where already, how do you define that? Everyone probably would look at it a little bit differently. So I don't have an answer for that. Okay, then, now you answered something very important. How do you, before we get to this, something called ituf. I mentioned four things. Hadacha, shtifa, chai, mole. You got to fill it to the very top. And what's the minig? The minig is, you add a little bit more and it overflows. It's a minog. This is not halacha, that it should overflow. Mole. All it says in Shulchan Aruch is, you fill it up to the top. What's the minig? The minig is you pour a little bit more until it overflows. Koisi revoya. It's a minig. In order to mekayim the pasuk, my cup overflows.
I have dolly.
What?
I have dolly.
By everything. Anytime you fill up a kais or brach, you want it to overflow. Yeah?
There's a minig not to fill a kais, to leave a little bit of chrom, like a little crown.
Yeah.
In the becher.
In the becher. Okay, different minhagim. That's the ituf. That's ituf. Okay, there are different hagim. That's come. That's the ituf. That's one shot ituf. Okay, but the mole, the kois, that's halacha. Halacha is the kois must be filled to the very top as an extension of mole. There is such a minug. People do this all the time. Is you eat a little bit more and get very upset because you do too much and it spills all over the place and it's a big mess. Especially if you have a nice clean white tablecloth, you don't want to do too much. But there's a minute koisi rivaya, my cup overflows, and you want that bracha that's mentioned in the pasuk. Now, how do you? Now the Gemara says six more things, and what is fascinating is how could be the Gemara says there's six more things you should do to your kois, and it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Very interesting. Gemara, everything in the Shulchan Aruch comes from the Talmud. For some reason, this was not accepted, and those six additional things are, it has to be, here we go, itur v'ituf. You have to do itur, it has to be crowned. Crowned, itur is a crown, v'ituf, and surround it. Now, I'll get to what this means. Not necessarily we don't do l'halacha. We do l'halacha, just not brought down. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually quote the words of the Gemara. Itur v'ituf, then noiloi b'shtei yadav. You have to take it. It's not clear what all these words mean. We'll just run through it very quickly. I don't want to spend too much more time. You take it with two hands. V'noisna b'yamin, u'magbiyam enakaka tefach, v'noisain ein of bo, you put your eyes on it. V'yeshayimrim, some say, m'shagor li'anshei bo, so you shall send it to the people after you taste from it. You shall give everyone in your family a sip, especially your wife. Now, what does it mean, itur v'ituf? That's not clear. Some learn it means two opinions. Either means you shall surround your kais with multiple kaises. So when you pick up your kais to bench, you should be surrounded with six, eight different opinions. A lot of little cups to beautify. A lot of little cups. That's one. Another vision is itur b'talmidim. You shall invite students. You shall invite guests. So when you bench Birchas HaMazon or any Birchas HaBracha, the Kodesh will be surrounded by people, by students who will enhance the sanctity of the moment. Two interpretations. Now, what does it mean, ituf? That's iter. Iter means a crown. The crown is, you crown it by having on the table around your one cup many more cups. That's not the idea. That's later. That's another interpretation. Okay, I'll get that in a second. Then there is ituf. Ituf means this. You shall dress, put on a hat. And if you have the custom, and this is a whole Shabbat issue, if you have the custom of wearing a hat when you daven, not everyone does this, but if it is your minuk, your custom to cover your head when you daven with a special garment, the same way you cover your head for davening, you shall cover your head when you recite a bracha on a kais shel bracha called ituf. Or some go even so far, this is really extreme, and you're going to laugh, put on your talus. Put on your talus and cover your head with your talus when you recite Birchas Hamazon. Unbelievable.
Benching,
kish, everything. Anytime you use a kosher bracha. No one does that. What? People have that hat. Yeah, people have that. That's what it says. You're supposed to do. Eat it. Okay. Noilai b'shtay yadav and noisnai b'yamin. This is subject to much interpretation. Basically, you're not, if you get an honor to do recite Birchas Hamazon by benching in shul or at home, you are not supposed to pick up the cup yourself. Someone is supposed to hand it to you. Someone else is supposed to pick it up. There are different opinions of how it's supposed to be done, but basically most people hold that two hands. Someone else, this is halacha, this is not really minhagim, this is halacha. Someone else is supposed to pick up the kodesh with two hands and give it to you. How do you accept it? There are many customs which are based on halacha. You're supposed to accept it with two hands. The giver gives it with two hands, and you accept it with two hands. And after you accept it, you then transfer it to your right hand. If you're a lefty, what do? Chinuk ideas. Some say a lefty holds in his left, some say a lefty shoulder in his right. Well, different opinions. Now, how do you hold it? There are different opinions. As you mentioned, some hold that you should hold it from the bottom up, and your fingers shall surround the cup. That could be called itur. Your fingers shall decorate the cup by your holding it on the bottom. You hold it on the bottom, and your fingers surround the cup. Others, and then therefore, based upon this opinion, there are those that are very machmir not to have a cup that has a stem. Yes. When you go to the silversmith to buy a cup, you can buy a cup with a stem, and you can buy a cup without a stem. Oh, wow, great. So he shows you all these pictures. What sefer is this? This is Shabbos Secrets. Oh, that's right. That's right, Shabbos Secrets. He has all these mechudim over here. It's a great sefer. He has all the pictures. A stem. Okay, when you come to the store, the silver stone, they ask you, I want to buy a bar mitzvah present. So what's the first question they ask you? With a stem or without a stem? After that, how much you want to spend? Next question. With a stem, without a stem? What's the difference? So some hold that you should not have a stem because you have to be able to hold it from the bottom up. If you have a stem, you can do it, but it's a little tricky. It's not so easy. And some say that the stem is a hefsek. You're not really, because the ikka yayin is collected in the upper portion. So you're not really holding it. So what do some people do? I saw some people, they put their fingers in between the stem and they hold it in that part. Some say, what do you need the stem for? Just creating halachic problems. Who needs the stem? No stem, just have a flat bottom. Some say, no, adrab, you have a stem. I don't know why, adrab, you should have a stem. Minhagim, that's what it's all about. People do all different types of things. Okay, that pretty much is, so that's how you hold it.
What other way you
say to
hold it besides from the
bottom? Oh, so others disagree with this custom. They hold that you should hold it regular.
Hold it like this.
Hold it regular. And that's called itaf. The different, these are Kabbalistic and Yadim. So basically, whatever you do is good.
And when do you put it down? Actually,
you can't go wrong. Whatever you do,
but
no one can.
People put it down in the middle of the bench, where?
After at least, you should hold the whole bed after Adi Chastrenu. You have to hold all the way to the end of benching. All the way until Adi Chastrenu. And you're supposed to hold only with your right hand. So you get tired, so you can support it with your left hand. Some say that's a no-no. But you do what you got to do sometimes, you know? Sometimes you got to do things. You just have to do it. Survive. You got to survive in this world. The shear of the kos? 3 ounces to 5 ounces. 3 to 5 ounces.
At the end of venting, do you have to say the rest?
Do you have to say the rest? So no, you not necessarily. You don't have to say the rest. But if you said it already 3 times in your life, it's like a neder. It's like you're makabel if you're doing it your entire life. And now all of a sudden, you want to, I don't want to say it from Al Yechashim to the very end, you have to be mad at the neder.
What was the question?
If you want to stop, so you've been saying for 50 years, you've been saying the benching all the way until Bas Shalom, until the very, very end. And all of a sudden, you decide it's too much for me. It's too hard for me. I only want to say until Al Yechasreinu. So you have to be matan eder. You have to be matan eder to do that. Okay, I think that's basically it.
What do we just say about curing shul for kiddush? Can you use a plastic for kiddush or not?
Lechatchila no. Lechatchila no. B'diavad, it's okay. One and the other? It's also b'diavet.
Well, two cups.
Well, because
it's
not yet, because
it's no
bad.
Same thing.
Because
it's no bad. It's a mishagas, two cups. I don't think it makes a difference.
Dixie cups.
Okay, we'll stop here.